We having this bill before us once more that we considered previously, and this committee felt it must go back to provinces so that we get and receive the comments from the provinces, of which I believe provinces did so. Some could not make it because we are in a very difficult time. But otherwise, I want to welcome you all and hoping that we will be able to be through as soon as we can. There's one apology from Honorable Kambok, who is not here. I also welcome our staff and welcome other interested parties who are here, the department, probably Transnet is also here. But you are all welcome, and let's see how far we can go today. Hopefully we might manage to go through this bill. You know, that's the consideration and the approval of the request from the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism for the exclusion of from coastal public property in terms of Section 27(4) of the National Environmental Management, Integrated Coastal Management Act, 2008, Act Number 24 of 2008. I hope the permanent delegates are here so that we can hear what are the provinces having to say. Without much ado, I'm going to request the provinces in alphabetical order to present to us what are the provinces saying. We start with the Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson. Eastern Cape has about 10 points, but the ninth one is saying regrettable. The committee cannot support the exclusion of the confined
Honourable Member, that's the Eastern Cape. Let's go to KZN. Is Gauteng here? Yes. Oh, I thought this is an alphabetical order. Okay, this state followed by Gauteng.
Person, we got no comments. We're busy with door to door in the Free State.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Gauteng?
Chairperson, we interviewed the chairperson in Gauteng, and the response is that the committee couldn't see.
Thank you very much. Gauteng, the committee could not see. Okay, then.
Chairperson, KwaZulu-Natal is one of the coastal areas. Of course, these are not part of the coastal area, but why they were busy talking to I was mandated to support the ratification. Thank you.
Thank you, KZN. You are a coastal province. It's good that you're supporting. Followed by Limpopo. Limpopo.
Chairperson, Limpopo agrees to the request by the minister. Thank you.
Limpopo. Then, Pumalanga will come in.
Chair, the committee met on the 13th of March, and the report as follows, that the decision taken by the minister to exclude coastal areas from coastal public property must be ratified by Parliament. Obviously, that is what is happening right now. Since the legislation being considered in Section 76, it is proper for the NTP to seek the views of the provinces before it ratifies such decision. That was done. Three, the views of the provinces with coastal areas or ports must be meticulously considered before a final decision is taken by the NCOP on this matter. So the report that comes later is with the condition that the coastal provinces agree. And then the fourth point is that the land and national assets within the coastal zone must be protected during the administration of the lease agreements for the port areas. The citizens of this country will benefit from any such economic developments in this regard. Now, the chair has asked me to stress this particularly, the chair of the portfolio committee, and to ask that we do maybe just write back to them. I gave them the assurance that that is what is happening, actually, because they were worried about the previous reports coming or emanating from what happened in the waterfront in Cape Town. So if some assurance can be drafted in terms of point four and reply to the committee by our committee, if you could approve that, I'll be very happy. But after deliberations on the minister's request, the committee supports the request, taking into account the observations above and views of the committee as contained in the report. Therefore, the committee recommends that the delegation representing the province of Mpumalanga and NCP be conferred with authority to represent the views of the committee in the ratification of the minister's request. So I say again, we approve subject to getting an assurance on point four. All the other points are actually covered. What's wrong with the sound today?
Thank you very much, honorable member. That Mpumalanga is supporting, and that could be done for laying down the honorable Tau.
No, thank you very much. Maybe because of the door-to-door and by-elections, one has become a bit rusty with regard to parliamentary procedure. And if you look at the report by Mpumalanga, it is a committee report signed by the chairperson of the committee and not by the legislature secretary, the legislature speaker. And I don't know whether if procedurally does that have any implication on the work that we're supposed to do in this committee. Thanks. If I can get clarity on that, I'll be happy.
Chair, may I come in? My information was that it's a request. That was a written request by the minister or from the minister through the NTOP for them to consider that. And whereas the legislation is not in sitting, this is what actually it's not a mandate as such. It's agreeing to a request. But you can rule on that.
Yeah, in how it is not a mandate. It's a request from the minister so that the provinces are taken on board to give their concern. Let's hear Honorable Renfrew.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think that the concern of Mr. Tau should not only wake up when we deal with Mpumalanga, because also the case that response is signed by a chairperson of the standing committee. and also my special advisor on the left says even Northern Cape, from where the member comes from, is not signed by the speaker and so on. So I think the response given by Mr. Watson is because we're not dealing with legislation here. It's a matter which the committee, when we decided, we said we cannot just make our own decision seated here without consulting, so that we get the views, particularly of those provinces which are defined or classified as coastal provinces. But Chair, my hand was with regard to what has been raised by Eastern Cape. If you also refer to our minutes, there were certain responses which were not given by the department, which I think they also still need to present them to us, so that by the time we take any decision, they should also be part of this meeting and should also be part of any response still outstanding to any province. Like, for example, Eastern Cape is raising that certain questions which were raised in the previous meeting were not responded to. Even if you check in the minutes, the department is saying they will still submit those responses to us and so on. I think we will also do justice to allow the department to fill in that gap. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Let's have the Northern Cape.
The Northern Cape agreed, of course, noting that Juanita Bieke is in the time, and thank for the transit that was provided.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The Northwest have not submitted anything.
Where the chair comes from?
Yeah. Well, it does not mean the chair's problem. Yeah.
I was so, just coming back.
But anyway, that's that. Let's have the Western Cape.
Western Cape agrees.
Voting Monday.
Eh?
Voting Monday. What Monday?
can Western Cape explain what Monday is this that they are voting?
Voting on to support the ratification.
On Monday?
Yeah, of the bill. As to the request.
This is
of the minister.
Not an amendment.
So the Western Cape agrees, Chair.
Agree.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Signed by the Speaker of the Legislature and not by the Chairperson of the Committee like the Northern Cape.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe before I proceed further, let me abide to what was raised by Honourable Zenful that the Department might be having something to fill the gaps where there are requests, etc. Let me allow you to do so.
Thank you, Chair. As I recall, there were specific questions addressed regarding financial implications. The department was not placed to answer them appropriately, but what has happened is we then contacted Transnet via the DPE to ensure that they address those questions, and it appears that they've prepared a presentation to address some of the pertinent questions raised by the Honourable Member. And it would be more appropriate for them to address it directly since they have that information. It's not really within the knowledge of our department, Chair. So if, with your permission, if we could hand it over to Transnet to actually go through the presentation, copies of which I believe have been disseminated.
Thank you very much. I think we will allow Transnet to do so. I learned that the document was circulated to members. Honourable Member.
With this response, I was worried when I was reading the reduction of my province. I know it's a progressive province. Also, it's affected. It's one of the causes that if the response we are going to be given today, how do you feel about my province that they've written this, this document without this information? I wanted just to be put on record, just because when they are saying the minutes were scanty and there were no responses, but today we're getting a response in the day that we must support. I'm raising a concern that we're given now, that concern that already they've taken the stance that because of ABC, and that ABC is addressing on this day, I'm seeing a problem of doing things like that. My province can think that it's not responsible, but when I was talking to them, I did get this, and now their response is going to be given today, the day of the finalizing of the matter.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Maybe let's hear from the committee secretary what happened. When was this information received, etc.? Can you clarify that?
Thank you, Chairperson. The presentation was sent through from Transnet approximately 2 days ago. It was sent through to me. I emailed it to all the provinces, provincial liaisons, offices, but unfortunately what happens is Parliament's email does not allow to send a document this big. So I then asked the sender of the email to send it to all the provinces. I sent them the email addresses as well. What I did do as well was photocopy the document and send it to the members the same day it was received. Therefore, I also made copies and brought the copies to the meeting today. But this document was only received about 2 days ago.
Thank you. In any way, as we understand the operations of the provincial legislatures that have gone now for campaigns, etc., it's really very, we operate in a very difficult setup now, and that's why we are here hoping that things will work out. But that is the position. Let's grant Transnet the opportunity, you know, to talk to the document, and maybe it might help us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I can introduce the Transnet team. On my far left, there's Eddie Seaton, who is from our Transnet Property Division, and who will be able to address any questions regarding the diagrams we presented to you. On my immediate left is Chris Matchett, who is the executive in the Transnet National Ports Authority, who deals with all infrastructure matters in the ports. And my name is Sue Lund. I'm from the Transnet Group office, and I deal with all policy matters relating to Transnet where we engage with government. So we were asked to address three specific matters, Chair, from your deliberations of the last committee. The first was the specific areas in the ports that are being recommended for exclusion from the definition of coastal public property. The second is revolved around a number of questions to do with the leases in the ports. And the third had to do with our investments in the ports and the types of investment loans that we raised in order to make those investments. So the presentation deals with those three matters in order. The first section sets out the map, and we have provided you with PowerPoint presentations of the map together with printed copies of the maps with all of the coordinate details. So the work has been done in conjunction with the Office of the Surveyor General to ensure that the cadastral boundaries that are reflected here, and specifically the coordinates to do with the water areas, are correct. I'm going to ask Eddie if he will speak to those diagrams specifically, and just to give you an indication of as to what exactly they represent.
Sorry, Chair, are we using this document? Somewhere I'm having a difficulty to refer by slide 5, page 5.
Page 5,
yes. It speaks about shaded areas, and yeah, it's just blank. I don't see what is shaded, what is not shaded.
Have you not got
the
shaded?
Yeah, because I think it was going to be convenient to get a venue which is compatible to use the PowerPoint presentation or any connection of a laptop.
If I may?
Yes.
Those of you who have colored copies, just to explain what it looks like, it would look typically like an A4 sheet in front of you, and you would see an outline of a port, and there's nine copies of ports, and then you would see what is referred to by the previous speaker as a shaded area. Those represent the water areas that are to be excluded from public property. So the shaded areas represent water in all of our nine ports, and they represent the areas to be excluded by this committee from the public property. Now, if you go through, you will see that we have Richards Bay, Durban, East London, Puha, Port Elizabeth, Mossel Bay, Cape Town, Saldanha Bay, and Port Nolloth. Nine commercial ports in all. Now, the important features of the areas shaded are generally the entrance channel to a port area, and then as it gets to the land portion of the port, it's the water area within a port area. So on any of the nine ports, you would see that the entrance channel is excluded. The reason for the entrance channel being excluded is that this forms the entrance for all shipping entering the protected water area of a port, and that is generally deepened to accept the new generation fleet that visits every port. And then on the land side, in other words, above the high water mark, you would then see colored area, and that's on the inside of a port area. And that inside of a port area is where you would generally find berthing and boats docking and everything that has to do with the operations of a port area.
I'm now even more confused than I was, because if I remember the presentation made at the onset of the negotiation, the reasons why they wanted them excluded was because the ports were unable to enter into contracts with warehousing and things on the ground. If the gentleman now says that the excluded area is only the water, I don't understand where the buildings and the properties and the long-term leases come into being.
Can you come in on that?
Chairperson, yes. As I understand it, the definition of coastal public property is specifically in respect of the water areas, and that is those are the areas that we are seeking to have excluded. Can I also clarify that we do have some leases in the water area, and that goes to a later part of our submission in answer to your question. So we can go to the lease matters as well.
Let's have other questions so that we come in.
Chairperson, I'm also now more confused. If you look at the presentation, I just want to get to page 17, Cape Town. Water lease for port, 100%. So all the water there is leased already. So now how can you exclude that it's already been leased? If they can just explain that to me.
Okay.
Waterlease Purport, and there you say the number is 1, and it's 100% of the water is already leased.
Yes.
Again, to, if you could just explain that.
Yes.
I'll come with the other question about the investment later.
What I would suggest, Chair, is if we could just explain the leasing tables in totality, because I think that that will answer the Honourable Member's question. Chris, can I ask you to explain the leasing tables?
Chair, the whole idea of the land leasing and the percentages are shown here, in fact, to show the, and that's on page 16, and for the water area, I think on page 17, if I'm not mistaken, is to show the percentage of the total leases which, in fact, exceed 20 years and those which do not exceed 20 years. To give an idea of the longevity of some of the, leases that we have and the distribution of those leases. So, and that's where you get 100% from. It doesn't mean 100% of the area is leased. That's just, in fact, is the 100% is the number of leases or the area of leases that have been made. And the split, in fact, in percentage is, as I say, those that are under 20 years and those that are over 20 years. And as you'll see, in fact, that the predominance of these things are very long leases, which is in very much in the nature of the of port activity. The short leases are often the ones for something like something that sells hot dogs or that sort of thing. In other words, small businesses that have a fairly short line, and then possibly a receipt, but you know, that's the thing, whereas the long-term leases are often ones where the lessee has in fact invested a fair amount in the property in order to conduct his business. Does that help us, Jim?
No, it doesn't. Because you are now talking about autoc stands and warehouses which are on the, which should be on dry land or just on the docks. The gentleman on your left said that the areas excluded are only the water areas. Now, I don't understand how you can have warehouses and leases and autoc stands on the water. If the area is excluded, it's only the water.
Yeah,
what has the land got to do with it?
We were all
then let's have other hands. I see a hand of Honourable Benford.
Yeah,
Chair. I didn't. I will not speak much about the hot dog stand. You know our point of departure when we're raising concerns around this. Was the matter of security of Kenya with regards to land. And also I think members of the committee, also the affected departments will remember the controversy surrounding the VLA land meeting and so on and the like. And later on it were told that it's only confined to the port areas and so on. But now we're also getting another definition which is not corresponding to the Act, which we just passed recently last year. I think it was assented to some couple of months ago and so on. Because my lady, the way she's trying to explain the coastal public property, well, when you look on the Act on Section 7, it does not only apply to A. A will speak with your water, but if you go to B, it also includes land. Because you can't have water sitting as if they are on space. The water is on land. You know, you go to sea, it also speaks about some of the natural islands and artificial islands and so on. So I think when we speak about the coastal public property, let's not be selective and just speak about the water and so on. It should be inclusive because I think that's the point Honorable Watson is trying to raise. And when we respond to some of these questions, let's respond to them, you know, in a very holistic way and so on. Because that's why members are now saying they are being confused more than the clarifications we were seeking in the previous meeting. So that you also make our work very easy. Because in principle, we were saying we understand part of the major motivations for such a request of exclusion. But we want to say, as we pass whatever ratification on behalf of Parliament as this committee, we should be totally convinced that we have exhausted all areas of concern which might be raised by any member of the public, as we are here representing public, the broader civil society. Hence, we took a decision to say, let's also consult our provinces so that they can have that opportunity democratically to raise the things. So we need to say, if we take a decision to say we pass today, we need to be equipped and empowered to respond to our various respective provinces, why we took that decision. But now, if you give us half answers, you are also making the work difficult for us.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Chair, I don't know, maybe I can assist our colleagues. Chair, my understanding of this diagram is that the entire area there, that's a black outline, is the area that's excluded. Anything in there that's coastal public property is in fact excluded. The shaded area is the water area where you may or may not have leases as well. But that entire area, the white bits in that diagram are the bits where you probably have your land leases. So I don't know if that assists the member in understanding the diagram.
I mean, it assists me, but it doesn't assist the fact that your colleague has said that the excluded areas is only the water. So somebody must retract or rephrase and not just help me to understand, but give the right message to this committee who has to go and vote on it tomorrow.
On a lighter note, Chair, it means if a certain lease has not been paid for, they will just send water tankers to take the water.
I think to get clarity on it, we just need to go back to the actual decision, which is the exclusion. And the exclusion was the map that we gave on the last occasion, and that is the entire port area. That is the decision. The decision is to exclude, because it's very difficult to make a distinction between land and water, particularly if you look at the definition of coastal waters. You're talking about from the high water mark. Now, because you're dealing with an area that's so interlinked and the activities in there are so interlinked, one takes it as one. So that is, if one looks at the coordinates in terms of the maps which were given to the committee, not these maps that make this artificial distinction in my view, but the maps that were given in the first instance, which is part of the ROD of the minister, that gives you the exact coordinates, and the coordinates are the coordinates of the entire port area. So I think for clarity and certainty purposes, let's go back to that, because nobody loses out there. Whether everything that's caught within that area, whether it does constitute coastal public property, is excluded. And that would include the water and any overlapping land where there may be leases on both, because you're talking about birthing space, you're talking about leases, wet leases, you're talking about dry leases. All of that entire net gets excluded. So I think for purposes of the committee, you just need to focus on the coordinates that were presented for exclusion, and those were the entire port areas, not just the shaded areas, Chair.
Yeah.
I don't know if that clarifies it for members.
It makes it difficult, you know, if the department comes with Transnet and you have not agreed prior coming here and you present different stories, you're confusing this committee and you make this committee to be more suspicious. That's the unfortunate part of it. In fact, we thought as you all come, you have dealt with the matter already. You present the same thing. It seems as if the understanding of the department and the understanding of Transnet is not the same. And that's why the explanation differs. And that makes us to be skeptical. You see, that's very much unfortunate. When I came here, I was okay. But then you're dividing my mind again, like the members are saying. Let's hear Honorable Sandra.
Chairperson, can I just get an example of a type of wet lease? I understand the hard dock stand, but I don't get the wet lease, the water lease. give us a simple explanation of that.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. The WEC leases, in fact, are leases over the use of a piece of water, and they typically go to things like aquaculture. For example, if one of the ship repairers has got a floating dock where he repairs vessels on it, but he's got a lease for the piece of water in which that dock operates and floats and sinks and so on and so forth. So in other words, it's where you haven't got a cadastrally fixed piece of land that you can lease. So it's not a lease in a typical land sense. It's really the use of an area of water, and as I say, it's for something that floats essentially. So if it's a raft that grows oysters or mussels or something like that, and we have that in a couple of the ports, or as I say, in the case of a floating dock which floats in the water, so that in fact is an asset to the lessee, but he needs a space of water in which to operate. Ms. Chin, is that clear?
If I could just quickly introduce myself, I'm Sandra Kutsier. I'm a Deputy Director General at the Department of Public Enterprises, the shareholder of Transnet. And I just want to, first of all, apologize for the unfortunate confusion that arose. I think it was a matter of use of words. I can certainly indicate to you that through this application, the Transnet, the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, and the Department of Public Enterprises consulted extensively, and there was very clear consensus as to the boundaries of the excluded area, and that it covers both water and land in accordance with the definition of coastal public property, which is, you know, extends just the coastal waters. That is indeed the case. I think Mr. Razak has explained it very well, that insofar as port functions are not necessarily always only land-based or only water-based, you have this interdependency in terms of use of both water and land. What I should also emphasize is, in defining these boundaries, the point of departure was what is required to execute port functions in terms of the National Ports Act. And that informed the determination of these boundaries. So again, apologies from our side in terms of any confusion, not intentional, but I wanted to just give you the assurance that in preparing the application, there's been very clear common understanding as to what the purpose of the exclusion is and what those boundaries how those boundaries would be delineated. I'd just like to add, in addition, it's actually a reminder that the Act in Section 27.5 clearly stipulates that land which is, or coastal public property that is excluded in terms of Section 27.4 remains state-owned land. And I just want to reiterate that there was a request earlier for an assurance as far as that's concerned. The Act is very clear on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I don't know whether does it dawn clearer in the minds of the members. The explanation, support the explanation which was given to us. Are there any further questions from the side of the members, or are we now happy? Honourable Honorine?
Chairperson, I just want to come to just get the documents in there. One of the things that we raised last time was the finance and the investment problem. If you look again on the page 19, if you look at the first 2008, 9, 2009, and 10,
that in itself is that the 13 billion rand of investment that they are looking for funding. And the rest of it is so 50% of what they required of the 22 billion, if I add up correctly. But what I can't understand, why all of a sudden now it's become a problem if the funding that they got previously for half of it was based on the bonds, the commercial paper, as they put the current types of loans raised to fund the capital project. Why is it now becoming a problem for the other half, other 50% look at international bonds and foreign bank loans? I don't understand. Why is it now becoming a problem? It wasn't previously a problem to raise the funds on the local market. Now they must go to the foreign market to raise funds. I hope I understand what I'm...
Could I ask for further clarity as to the nature of the problem that was discussed previously? I'm afraid I wasn't in that discussion, but perhaps it would just be helpful if I could understand how the problem was phrased, because we continue with our capital program as planned, and we continue to raise funds through the normal debt facilities that are available.
Through you. On the presentation, so they say, yeah, and I'll give the copy that I got, the team, PA, unable to enter into long-term financial leases to fund port infrastructure. Now, the question that I then raised, that their credit rating hasn't changed. And we were made to understand that, the credit rating has changed through the international market. So that is why we raised that question.
Can come in.
Thank you, Chair. I believe that Transnet will perhaps be able to provide a little bit more detail on this, but if I could just explain that from the Department of Public Enterprises perspective, I can inform the committee that we have, over the last 6 to 12 months, detected a significant constraint on global liquidity, and it is having an impact not just only on Transnet, but also on all of the state-owned enterprises. So. The Transnet detail they can share with you, but I can tell you that in terms of the global economic climate, the availability of debt is generally constrained. And in relation to securing debt, obviously the security of tenure and planning for those activities is a crucial matter in terms of the risk assessment of any lender to an activity. So any form of uncertainty increases the risk and increases the cost of capital for those activities.
That is that. Are you happy on our own, right?
Not really, because the credit rating hasn't changed.
Perhaps, thank you, Ms. Van Rooyen, for reminding me not to, of the fact that I didn't speak to that specifically. What I can also indicate is that obviously the credit rating agencies do a regular reassessment of the credit ratings of the state-owned enterprises, and I think we've seen the recent example with Eskom where that credit rating has changed. We don't yet know what the position will be with Transnet. But I can indicate to you that if you look at the media, most of the big multinationals, big South African companies, are under strain to retain the credit ratings. I think none of us can predict today whether Transnet's credit rating will change or not. But what we do know is, as a consequence of the context of implementation and any risks related to the rollout of the build program, will have a bearing on Transnet's credit rating. All companies are under strain as far as that's concerned.
Thank you.
Benford?
Yeah, yeah, I think the question Mr. Van Rooyen asked also relates to one of the outstanding questions which were not answered previously in terms of the global recession. How far is it going to impact in some of these contracts and leases and so on? Because the other point was that why do we rush to include all the ports, even those which are currently not having any contracts or leases which are more than 20 years? Because if you have to take the route of Section 27, particularly 27.4, we are addressing those work port leases of more than 20 years and so on. Are we intending to have a wholesale kind of contractual leases of more than 20 years, even for those ports which are not currently within that bracket?
Chair, if I may, first of all, I think we're probably all of a positive mind in expecting that this downturn in the global economy will at some point in time pick up. When, I don't think anyone can predict. What we also know is that the ports are critical in terms of maintaining trade patterns and expanding South African trade. And I want to reiterate that the part that's being excluded here is for the purposes of maintaining and expanding activities within those boundaries and improving those activities in those boundaries. Essentially, the South African ports are the window of the country in terms of international trade. So one cannot stop planning and investing in the ports only as a consequence of economic downturn. We have to prepare ourselves for long-range investments in the ports. Most of those sizable investments have a longer range in terms of capital investment and have a longer range in terms of securing return on investment. So the fact that there's an economic downturn does not essentially mean that we stop investing in the ports. That would actually be to the detriment of the country if we were to stop investing in ports. First of all. Secondly, what I need to also emphasize is one of the key reasons why, from a port jurisdiction point of view, this exclusion is also required is because Transnet still has a responsibility to ensure that those ports are actually run and maintained according to international safety standards. If we don't maintain the ports according to international safety standards, we will not have international shipping actually called at our ports. Let me give you an example as to why I'm saying that. Most international shipping is supported or underwritten by insurance. If Transnet cannot maintain these ports according to those international standards, the ships calling here will not be able to secure the underwriting in terms of insurance to allow them to call at South African port. It's critically important that Transnet is in a position to maintain the ports and port functions in a manner that complies with international convention. So the impact is not just a commercial impact in terms of warehousing, et cetera, but it's also informed by international obligations related to standards for international shipping.
I'm raising a concern as a permanent member from the Eastern Cape, that the Eastern Cape did sit on Friday. And this information, as the sector was just telling us, that the the responses that we're getting today were faxed to, or they were emailed to our provinces between 3 days. When I'm thinking 3 days, it's Monday and Tuesday, that the comic was of this state. And I'm just worried. We are a part of this coastal areas. You know, there are many. The OKW is in there. In the, if now we are taking a decision of informed, I'm raising a concern and a protest that the department didn't do justice. That's why today we are not. We are still discussing this thing as if it was that other day, and I don't know why the rush if the affected provinces were not given explanation as the explanation are given today. I'm putting that I'm not happy also as a member presenting my province just because we didn't get this information. And the information, the relevant information is relevant, was supposed to be discussed with the relevant committee, which is affected by the province. So I'm not happy about what is going on today in this committee.
Honorable Oliphant.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of the documents that was presented to this committee from the minister, if I read that, one of the reasons why the request for ratification was that the PPA currently enters into long-term business for a period of up to 99 years. But in terms of the responses, in terms of the leases, there's not a single one that indicates that there is that agreement for 99 years. Now, I just want to check that, because if there's not a single one from the response from Transnet, then the question is, why are we given the reason that is not really currently a part of the agreement that the Transnet has? And number two, if I recall very well, the reason why we have requested some clarities from Transnet, particularly when it comes to, okay, to the duration and number of phases, it's clear there. But in terms of, I think Transnet are supposed to answer the specific questions that were raised by the committee previously. Because the map that they were showing us today, it has shown us by the environmental affairs, and that was our understanding that the exclusion is specifically for those port areas. Then if there are changes, I don't think that we have to continue. We have to tell our provinces that in terms of the information that we're having today, it means the information that was given to us as a committee was not the exact information, and therefore I don't think that we can continue with that one. Thank you.
Honourable Van Rooy.
The person, just another concern on the investment. The letter that was the original request by the department talked about Transnet indicated that its capital investment program of 80 billion rand over the next 5 years. And here in the presentation this morning, they talk about over the 5 years, 22 billion. Now, what happened to the other billion? Which figures are now the correct one that they are going to invest? Unless I'm reading it wrong, but there's a huge discrepancy from 80 billion to 22 billion, 22.5 billion.
Come in.
Thank you, Chair. If I can clarify that matter, the 80 billion rand figure is the figure of the capital investment for Transnet as a whole. And Transnet runs the Port Authority, the Transnet National Port Terminals, pipelines, railway, And so our 80 billion rand is our investment across the whole of Transnet, and the table that you have before you is specifically the investment in the port. So that's the distinction between the 22 and the 80.
Well, that's that. I think the matter has been exhausted so far. Let me go back then to the permanent delegate. There are five provinces supporting the request of the minister. I must be guided by you. If some are saying we cannot continue, the provinces are saying they support, five are saying they support, which implies this could go through. But I am chairing, I am part of this committee. I would love to be guided by you. Honorable Watson.
Well, first of all, Chief, one of the five provinces, the province has asked that we not proceed is one of the five. So you only have four now. Isn't that KZN?
Yeah.
Yes. Then
in terms of the document that was presented previously, it talks about the lease of 99 years. But in terms of the response of Transnet, it's 20 years or 20 years and less. So there's nothing that talks with 99 years. And secondly, in terms of the maps that were given to us, now it was not given the way today, whether it's Transnet or public enterprises is saying now today. Of which it means, my assumption is that it means then, if it's according to what is being said today, then the provinces have taken the wrong decision on the wrong information, and therefore we can't continue with that. Thank you.
Chair,
Chairperson, I suspect there may be a misunderstanding. And if I can attempt to address the honorable member from KwaZulu-Natal, what I see as listed on page 16 are leases that are greater than 20 years and leases that are 20 years and less. Therefore, the leases that are up to 99 years would be covered by, would be within, or would be embedded in that column, which says leases that are greater than 20 years. That's the first point of nature. The second one would be, I think although in the beginning there appeared to be a difference between what Environmental Affairs and Tourism had presented and what Transnet was presented, what in fact there is no difference. We're all talking about that port area that is bound by the solid black line structure.
Come in, I
don't know. What's the question? It says duration and number of leases per port. Now, I want to get the one that the lease is 99 years. Because in terms of the response, the Transnet was supposed to be specific. Let's say, for example, the port of Richards Bay. It was supposed to say we have a lease of 25 years if it's more than 25 years with that specific port. But here they are saying 20 years or less than 20 years. It's greater than 10 years or less than 20. But they were supposed to be specific. Then we just want that specification. I'm raising this concern because, let me not continue about that one.
Well, it seems as if KZN is not convinced, and
may I confirm with my colleagues on that?
Okay. Honorable Renfrew?
Chair, I think Transnet could have done a better work of clarifying these things more than anyone from this department, because they are the same people who came out, you know, with an outcry before we passed the bill itself, before it became an act. Hence, at some point, we said you must go back with this and reach a compromise. Hence, this section 27 came as a compromise to address some of the direct objections. Actually, you're objecting to some of the issues in the bill itself, because we must not lose sight of the background of where does this kind of request come from and so on. And then as we are doing that, I think what members are raising is also the issue of consistency, as we define some of the issues and so on. Because we started speaking about large chunks of land, then we said confined port areas, which at least eased our worries, that we are now speaking about confined areas. But today you come now and say shaded and all those things, and they are complicating the whole area, right? That's why I'm raising the issue of consistency. I think we're also very much clear to say we've got no intention as a committee to discourage any foreign investment and so on to the country and so on. Actually, our people will encourage that and so on, but not blindfoldedly so as we do that. I think that point should be understood within the context why we're raising some of these contexts. And at no point did we say we want to compromise standards and so on. Because I think now one of the motivation and qualification is that if this is not done, we will compromise standards. I think standards, as we speak, are still being maintained as they are. So, because, Chair, I'd also remind the meeting about one question which was also asked. What will make heavens fall if we don't pass this before elections? I think that was also one of the issues. Because we should not also say, as we plan for whatever matters, there will also not be other plans as we come after the elections, which must also be integrated within whatever strategic goals the new administration might have. Of course, building up on what the country has presently, so that we don't have a situation where, in a way, we preempt some of those things and so on. In these 2 months or so, what will cause heavens fall if we don't pass the whole of this thing? That was one of the questions which was asked. Because I think the department should have also explained themselves. I'm not speaking on their behalf. But the other cut-off thing is that if a lease is 20 years, more than 20 years, is then when you will seek the exclusion through the Minister of Deed. You know, but there was nothing wrong if you could have, as the Honorable Oliphant is saying, if that lease is more than 20 years, you say this one is 35, this one is 45, and so on. It would have made things very much easier and so on to do those things. I'm not sure, Chair. We have views from provinces, but if you also look at the Mpumalanga one, point three, clearly says the views of the provinces with coastal areas or ports must be meticulously considered before a final decision is taken by the NCOP on that matter. So our mandate also supporting this is to say whatever concerns those coastal provinces I have should be satisfactorily exhausted in this meeting before we pass that and so on. We know we've got no sea and we've got no dreams to have anything in the near future. But we are also South Africans who are also concerned about what is happening in our coastal areas in South Africa as such and so on. So as much as we agree that we need to allow whatever operations to continue, views from those coastal provinces must be taken on board. Of course, we know, Chair, we are not in a very tight, you know, legal, how can I phrase it? because it does not really need to say we need a voting mandate, to put it clearly so. But we said those views of the provinces must be taken on board. That's why earlier on I said whatever decision we have to take today, we must be thoroughly convinced that it's the right decision and we must be in a position to explain it to our respective provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Well, two questions have been posed, whether is it a matter of life and death that this should go through. The other thing is members are raising questions that could be brought before this committee to clear the matter up. I don't know what space do we have between now and tomorrow when the NCOP will be sitting, whether can information be brought before this committee. If this committee agrees that we do it the first thing tomorrow morning, if there is information that could satisfy the members. As the members are saying, we're not trying, you know, to be difficult, but I think you have been listening to the argument. They have raised it. Probably you have jotted it down. Whether can you provide the answers? You know, like they are saying, talking about the leases, why is it not specific? And obviously I believe you should be having specific answers to this question. I'm trying to chip in between and see how possible it is. Can we still maneuver between now and tomorrow to have the necessary answers? I don't know. You are the committee is there to respond, and the department is there to respond. Whether are they having answers? If you have answers now, how do we do it? Now it's 3:10. I don't know. What do we do now? Is it a matter of life and death that this should go through, or what? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. If the department in Transnet, is it possible to get the answers now? We adjourn maybe for 20 minutes. We come back again. We still have time. How do we go about this?
Chair, can I just clarify, in terms of the specific information on the leases, we've got nearly 800 leases in the port. So if you could possibly specify which particular categories, you'd like those over 35-year leases and specifically the one in each port, can I just clarify, and then we can certainly trace the information.
Yeah, obviously, I think the members are saying they would love to have, you know, all the leases specified. Are you saying there are too many who won't be able to do that?
Well, Chair, when we were asked to provide information on the leases, you know, we've got a spreadsheets of information, and we tried to consolidate it in a way that was accessible in one sheet. And we thought that in summarizing the greater than 20 years and the less than 20 years, that would be helpful. If you'd like more detail on those that are greater than 20 years, we can provide that per port. Would that be helpful? I think, Chair, the question is around the importance of these long-term leases and why it's important to take into consideration the terms of those leases. The leaseholders who hold these leases make significant investments in our ports, in the infrastructure of the ports, in the transportation and storage of goods that move through the ports. And for them, it's very important to have that security and to know that they can make those investments going forward. And so I think that the original submission was with that in mind, the importance of providing that security of tenure and providing that certainty that, in fact, the activities of the port will not be constrained and will be able to continue within the bounds of the National Ports Act and the provisions of the National Ports Act. So that was the, I think that was the original intention of drawing to the members' attention the number of long-term leases that we have in the ports. We're certainly able to provide the information on the 70 leases that are greater than 20 years. Would it be helpful if we did that by the end of today or early tomorrow morning?
Well, let me hear from the side of the committee. Are we together, Honorable Watson?
Chair, yes. I don't know if that will help, but the point, the last point raised by my Honorable Winchell was actually the point that I wanted to discuss with him, and we'll add in him that the mandate, if you can call it a mandate, or the approval from Mpumalanga is subject to the fact that the coastal provinces agree, and we have one province that's not agreeing, so that nullifies our mandate for a yes. So I don't know how you're going to solve that by tomorrow, and I don't know if KwaZulu-Natal has been satisfied, but certainly Eastern Cape is against it, and once there's a province, a coastal province against it, Honorable Winchell and I agree, then our mandate is nullified.
Well, then, if I draw the conclusion, my understanding is that the committee is saying we cannot proceed now. That's my assessment of exactly that. Is my conclusion correct? Honorable members? Okay. So, there's nothing I can do then for now.
I am the one who raised the problem. Can I be given time to consult with my province in terms of what has transpired from this meeting? And if they go, they give me go ahead, then I can come back and talk.
What are the implications? Let's hear from the side of the department. And what are the implications then? If we adjourn this meeting not having considered the matter before us.
You want to come in, or
member? Come in. Honorable Benford.
Chairperson, I think I will support that we adjourn for 20 minutes. That will also give the department just to round up summarily on the outstanding information. I don't think it's much which is left. We need to agree. We did cover some ground in the previous meeting. We cannot pretend as if we didn't do any work in the previous meeting. But we then agreed in the previous meeting that there was information which was not readily available from the department, which was one motivation that we could not finalize the matter by then. The other strong reason was that we should also allow a situation where we also consult with our provinces. That consultation has happened. We've got views from certain provinces. Other provinces have not responded. I'm not sure whether in your parliamentary legal jargon, would you also say that silence means consent? It's another thing which you leave to the state law advisors to consider. But also truly so, it was also to allow that democratic process to take place. Because I think it's something, should I say, unprecedented, which we had to deal with. Because it was not a piece of legislation as such, that is Section 76, but it was a matter emanating from a Section 76 piece of legislation, which we then necessitated us to make those consultations. I think while the department is also making theirs, we could also, as a committee, make reflecting on some of the issues. The Eastern Cape mainly was to say the responses, some of them were still outstanding, which we have got today. I'm not sure whether the Honorable Julane will be in a position to, within these 20 minutes, consult with the chair of the committee just to bounce some of the responses within the 20 minutes and see what we can do. So that as we come back, I think we should have a way forward of how do we progressively conclude this matter.
I think it's a bright proposal, so that we can maybe, when we come back, maybe we will be having the way forward. Agreed? Agreed, then again for 20 minutes. It's now 3:15. 25:02 we should then, 25:04 we should be back then. I am sorry that this is the case now. It makes it also for me difficult. But that is the state of this meeting now. Where can we? Can we? Okay. Yeah.
Okay.